From NPR, WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Peter Gross, Tom Beaudet, and Roxanne Roberts. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill sings his favorite song by Rymiana Grande. It's our listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Peter, many of this year's 1,700 Democratic candidates for president.
Yes. Oh, I'd like to announce that I'm running.
All right. Yeah, you were the last one. Yes. There's nobody left. Many of them have, of course, created Spanish versions of their campaign websites, right? Yeah. But a recent report in Politico showed that many of them actually made those websites by doing what?
Using Google Translate.
That's what they did. Yeah. Just copying and pasting. That's all they did. It's very economical, or as Beto O'Rourke's Spanish site might say, him very talk Spanish. Nice. So Politico went out and they ranked each Democratic candidate's Spanish language websites. Cory Booker and Kamala Harris got A's. Yay for them. Amy Klobuchar, though, got a C for mixing up the Spanish words for fork and comb. In fact, Klobuchar's site is entirely done through Google Translate, resulting in, and this is true, Klobuchar calling her own mother a dude. Meanwhile, over on his Spanish language site, Bernie Sanders just added O to every word. It's the millionaires O and billionaires O's.
I feel their pain. Rita, my wife, is a native Spanish speaker. And sometimes to impress her, like if I want to write something really romantic in an anniversary card or something, I'll go to Google Translate. Yeah. And put my sentiments into Spanish, and it's always the same. She's just like, what?
Like, you what? Tried, though.
You want to build a birdhouse of our love?
Peter, safety officials in New York are cracking down on one specific type of business that they say is not providing enough exits, and in many cases, trapping customers inside. What is the business?
Escape rooms.
Exactly right. Is it really? Yes. Officials say it's almost as if these escape rooms are designed to trap people inside. Back in February, New York created a task force to investigate all 22 of the city's escape rooms for safety violations. They went to the first one and haven't been seen since. The task force's findings, 21 of the 22 escape rooms have exits that are not clearly marked, and the other one has been shut down for being ridiculously easy.
It is like a weird phenomenon that people are like, put me in danger and I can't get out. And
have
then like
you done one?
No.
I did one with my whole family and my mother and father-in-law. It was in New Jersey, actually. It was really hard. Scratching at the door.
Pleading. Was it one of the ones with like a zombie on a chain? Was it one of those?
No, it was a nautical theme. There was a lot of sea mythology involved.
Do people play like care? Is there somebody in there who's like, hi ho, we're on the high seas and you must escape we're under a ship? Is it that?
No, like, I think the guy who put us in there just went to lunch and we just...
Peter, comfort is the number one factor in underwear purchases, which is why one clothing company is making underwear out of what?
Old t-shirts.
No.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah.
We were being ironic about the comfort.
Oh, my God, I saw this. Jeans.
Yes.
Oh.
Janties?
Janties.
Janties.
Jean panties. Janties. If you wish, you could feel like you were riding a horse naked on a saddle made of sandpaper. Have we got underwear for you? It's high-waisted underwear made of denim, complete with rivets and pockets, called janties. Janties, of course,
it should be called scratchies.
You'd think. No, but janties is a combination of the words panties and Jesus Christ. You're not going out like that, are you?